going to finish by the string. And I don't remember much about it at all.
So, what about the period of Brexit, of his village, if it was Brexit? I think it was.
Yeah. Well, we settled in, we got the houses were allocated to each so many of the men, and we got a cookhouse going and a mess going. And there were, I became a service mess cook. They had me a cook today. So I says, I says to one of the service, I'll be a cooking for you.
You were still just an old retriever?
Trooper then, yeah. And so, fair enough.
What was that job like?
It was just a lot of German prisoners of war too who looked up and they'd done the cleaning and all I did was to cook. Mind you, I'm not a cook. The first morning I made the porridge, you could have danced a jig on it, was that thick, so I had to scrub that and say, sorry, no porridge is fine. But it was easy, all you had was bacon and eggs. I had it, you know, just fry up bacon and eggs and I finally got the way in, got the porridge going in the morning, I know what to look for in there. Bacon and eggs. Plain cooking, there was nothing fancy. Which is what they wanted, really, and chips. They got as long as they got chips and things. And then we went out shooting. All the villagers had to hand in their shotguns and so. And we would used to go take a shotgun from the armory and go out shooting. Grouse, pheasants, deer, rabbits. And yeah, I couldn't cook the damn things, but they offered us an egg for the grouse and. I've done a letter that 3 or 4 months and then.
So, during the first month or so, was this question of people being sent out to the Far East? Were you aware of that?
They had asked for volunteers, yeah, they asked for volunteers to go to the Far East. And of course, a lot of boys volunteered.
Did you?
No. Well, I never volunteered. Burnley, of course, naturally volunteered. Gordon Fiddler, I believe, volunteered. And they were collected and sent to Brussels to join the first fighter corps, I understand. And that was the last. And that's when I became a sergeant's mess cook because the regiment was, there wasn't much left of the regiment, it was all decimated, you know. And Burnley, before them left, and he got more or less got me into cooking. I was only there for 4 months and they were sent to leave. I was sent to leave again.
So, how about the Germans? Did the North Fraternization relationship?
Well, as far as kids were concerned, the elders didn't bother, didn't speak to you unless you spoke to them, but the kids used to come flopping around the garden because he knew there were sweets in the office. And although there were Germans, you'd still give them a sweet if you had it, you know. There was no girls. Never saw a girl on that thing. Had them somewhere.
What about the black market? Were you aware of that?
Well, there was a black market. You could buy, it was back by the Jews, same way. You could buy anything from dollars. I don't know that black market was. I remember you could buy dollars, American gold dollars, silver dollars, any currency in the world you could buy in this black market. And of course, the main currency of this time was cigarettes, by the way. I mean, I never drew my wages, I just sold a packet of cigarettes. And if I needed money, I just sold a packet of cigarettes. And got through, but that stopped. Because I remember, I said I went and leave. And we went to this Cook's Haven, to the boat for Cook's Haven, and there was a big camp there, a big game. And you could go through there and produce all your paraphernalia so you got on the ship. But it was announced before you went on this big military policeman, a very tough captain. Anybody who has not drawn their wages for the last 6 months will be immediately sent back to the unit or face a court martial. The black market, you see, and they're trying to stop it because a drain on the British source, the sources of the British army, you know, the balance of payments was getting rather out of place because, however, I hadn't drawn the wages for 6 months and I was going to draw them. I should have been drawing so much, you know, a week, but I was using. I lost my cook job because the sergeants were getting a bit more upmarket. They were holding little parties with their friendly sergeants at another unit, saying they would visit each other, and they wanted somebody that could make canapes and various things like that. To hang this, chips and egg and chips, they wanted something more exotic. So they had got an ex-officer's mess cook. He was surplus to requirements. Officer's mess had a good boy. So he took over, and he could do all these things. And when I came back, I lost my job. And what to do? Well, that's when they made me up to a sergeant. And
that's
sent
straight to sergeant?
Yep. No. Well, it was a long way to get to sergeant. You're a war substantial. You're acting corporal, acting sergeant, and they could go right back to trooper and one go if you like, but I'd bypassed all these three things and became a sergeant. And they sent me down to, where was it, to Weymouth, that's where the tank, Bovington, that, yeah, that's where.
So
they
sent you back to England?
Yeah. And they sent us, so two or three of us went from that regiment, all became sergeants. And I knew one or two of the boys, and we both jumped up and went on this train, a train journey from Schleswig-Holstein to Dover. Dover,
what was this about?
It was 1945, I think.
Yeah, May 45.
Oh, that would have been about June or July. No, it would have been June. It would have August, I think. Much
not too.
However, I was sent back, and it took us 3 days in that train. It was great. And I remember getting the train from Paddington on this thing, and I got a breakfast on the train. And it was that's a great thing, you know. I never mean your peasants, never been to that train. We stick a piece with it, you know. And we got a breakfast on that train, and it was scrambled eggs, mushrooms, which I didn't like, bacon, the scrambled eggs. It wasn't a very great scrambled eggs, but done by a chef, it was really lovely, you know. Full of boys like ourselves. See, they wanted, they were demobbing, and they needed some instructors to bring. The conscription was still on, and new men were coming in. They needed instructors. Most of the instructors were all getting demobbed because they'd been in long enough. And so we were going to replace the instructors.
At Bovington Camp?
I don't think it was Bovington. They're both together. They're both together, but round about that area, there's a. Bovington's the head office of the Royal Tank regiments, you know, I think it was round about there anyway, but not so much Boyton, but there's another place. It's just next door, more or less. There's a big ranges where we were, Boyton has a big range, you've got to go from the tanks, take my tanks out the range and fire the guns. And after about 6 weeks initial training, they sent us back. And we went to.
You were instructing these constructs for just 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, we knew all about the guns, knew how to instruct them and things, and that was really all, and fire them. And that was all that was required.
Oh, so you were getting the instruction there? Right. So
we were getting how to teach people, you know, how to teach people, you know. And we knew all about the guns because we had to fire them, you know. So what we were really there for was to teach the conscripts how to strip a gun, how to clean a gun, and how to fire the gun. And we were sent back to, of all places, Belsen. Cella was the name. Because Cella, it's a big open heathland. And
is
it had
an S or a C?
Eh?
Is it an S or a C?
C-E-double-L-E. And there was a big camp there, which the Germans used it with their tanks. They had big barracks there. All their barracks were tiled. And all separate rooms. It was a beautiful place. And they had the heathland, which they used as the range. And of course, they had this Belsen concentration camp, which we had to look at it. By that time, we came back, it was more or less cleaned up.
Is this in 45? Were you back in 45 or is this in 45?
I'm back at 45, I think.
Okay,
then
what were you doing there then?
Well, we got our barracks. Got a room and we got settled down. I remember one wee incident, it was dark, pitch black, and we went to come into the cellar. And we were just told to go downstairs into the cellar there and take a pally acid and a straw down there, just fill it up, and that's your bed for the night. And I'd done that, and it was the straw was kind of damp, but it did. Anyway, I went up, got a bed and stuck it on it. And see, at 2 o'clock in the morning, God, I was itching. And I got a torch and I went, God, this is crawling with these mice. The heat in your body had brought the lice out. And I slept on the floor for the rest of the night, and then the following day I got my new pally acid and new straw, fresh straw. And that was one of these. And later on, when it settled in, we got a decent room. You know. I've been a sergeant there, the sergeant mentioned.
What was the sergeant's first life?
It was great. I enjoyed it.
What did it offer you?
The same meals as the boys got. I mean, they're nothing different than that. But they had other things at night. And it, you know, they had to do, you may have a party, but invite people, you know, other sergeants to your rooms. Or there's ATS in the go, so you may invite them as for a dance, you know. It's quite a good. But I like things. You go in some night thinking, oh, well, I'm not going to have. I'll come in here if I know, and I'll go back in a minute. But, you know, and it started off slowly. Somebody could play a piano. He'd play a piano. And he would be tickling the ivory, shall we say. And somebody came up. All that, the instruments were all in the brand band, they got the stage, you know. And somebody got to start tugging on drum. And before you know you had a full blown karaoke orchestra going, you know, and it used to have a great night there, just listening to me. There's some clever boys there, you know, right? They're ladies conscripts, or some of them are great musicians. And they had a ball, you know.
Did you drink much?
Yeah, too much. Yeah. I was a great drinker, I'm afraid. Being a Scotsman, I kept up that tradition, I said. I had many a night, I come through in the snow, was about, this must have been in the world, must have been when the snow was so deep, and I had a skin for another one to do to get back to my bed. And I lay in that snow, I fell, and I got up, and I lay in the snow, got up again, and I fell. That must have sobered me out, I don't know. And billets, by the way, were guarded by, they didn't have a guard as such, but were guarded by the Polish Royalists Battalion. They were the royalists against communism, you know. But and they couldn't go back to Poland because it was all communist at that time. And they guarded our huts, you know. So they didn't have a guard on as such, which is a good thing, really. But I don't remember. I think I took a bunch of lads up to the range, but that thing was coming near my door.
So you didn't have many real duties?
No. No, there was no garden duties or anything like that. It was really to my mind, it was a holiday camp. I didn't even have a class as such.
So what were you involved, you say?
Yeah, I haven't a clue.
Would it be in 46?
Be 46, yeah. I was asked to stay on. By that time, I had held the rank of sergeant for about a year, I think, something like that. Which meant I was more substantiated, which means they could only court martial me if they bring me back down the ranks, you know. And this officer, the army changed after the war, and I always found that the conscripts and the regulars, and the regulars who were staying on started to get very close to the officers who were staying on, you know, piling up to doing this and that. Whereas we as conscripts, in a sense, we sort of said we couldn't do less because we're going to get involved, you know, we want to get involved. And that's where the army suddenly split in two. You had the regulars and you had the conscripts. The regulars, they were brushing up and they're standing to attention, sort of still, and getting to an officer, so and so, he's thinking, well, I'll be partnering with him, you know, I'll keep in with him. A burnout, as they call it. And this colonel interviewed me, he says, Buchanan, you're due for the I'd like you to stay on because you're young and you've got all this knowledge, more knowledge, plus the fact you're an instructor. We'd like you to stay on and we could make you up to a full war substantiated sergeant, but he didn't realise that I'd read the myself, I said, I'm going to come out. And he cajoled, he threatened, he did everything, but he dismissed me, Kurt dismissed. And that was the end of me. I was thrown out of the army, literally thrown out of the army by my compatriots in the sergeant's mess who filled me up, and the officer's mess. I was probably a lot of the officers too. And they filled me up. They gave me a half pint tumbler of whiskey to drink that night. I was getting them up. The truck was standing at the door waiting me. And I drank it a half pint. I always remember I drank that half pint of tumbler. And they watched in amazement. And I staggered into the toilet and brought it all up. My face was dead white. And I said, I come out. And I started walking out. And they couldn't believe it. But of course, I had only been in the stomach for about a couple of minutes, and that was up, you know, a half pint, it was just a half bottle of whiskey. I mean, if I'd left it and I'd been dead, wouldn't it? They lived rough, these boys. And they threw me into the back of the lorry. It was a wee, was it 2500 or something? What was it? It was 1500, just a wee 500 weights on the lorry. And there were three or four of us, and literally threw me in. And that was it. That was my demob. Went to back to Cuxhaven again, got the boat to Hull this time. I think it was Cuxhaven to Harry's Neck, it was to Hull this time. Went through the demob, got my new suit, and first thing I went was sort out. And you could tell at a distance, and it got to Edinburgh, and there was a spurs in Edinburgh waiting to buy your suits off you. And I said, no, I'll hang on to mine. And I got a train from Edinburgh. At that time, you can get a train from Edinburgh to Edinburgh. Don't know, it's the lines being discontinued. And that was it.
And what were you
going to
do? I mean, you've been a sergeant now, but when you go in the army, you're just a grocer's
animal. Well, in the grocery trade in those days, you had to wait till someone died above you before you moved up the ladder, sort of style. When I came back, of course, most of the grocers, which were men before the war, because all women, once they got married, they had to leave their employment. They didn't employ married women in those days. So it was all men. But when they came out, and you come out with a wee bit of money, you see, now as a sergeant, a few hundred quid. It was a lot of money. But I knew nothing other than wireless and gunnery, firing guns. So my job was still open yet. The man who had my job was, he was over 65, so he just had to retire. He said, you had to get your job back, put it that. If you had a job and it was still there, the man who had it, he was tucked out and you took his place. That was his stipulation. So I got my job back. And
were you still an errand boy?
No, I was, of course, all of a sudden you were promoted right to behind the counter. You were bone and hams, and you're doing a man's job then. You know, all that was behind you. There was no more of this errand boy to van boy, to back shop boy, to think you're a grocery, you're a grocery, you've just done everything.
And you stayed in groceries?
Stayed in groceries, yeah.
Did you have any problems sort of readjusting to civilian life and physical effects of the war?
Not really. One thing, which was a great life we had in the army after the war, that I applied to the NAFI for a position. As it was a grocer, you see, and they had groceries opening up because there was a standing army in Germany, and they brought their wives across, so you had to have grocer shops here. So. But whether I didn't word it, I knew it vague, how to write for an application for a job, so I didn't get it. I got a reply about 2 years later, but by that time I was probably settled in.
No.
Well, the Fife and Fourfers were up, and it was in Fife. And they would have to make the first move, shall we say, write to me and say, we have a Fife and Fourfer. They never written to me this day, even though I knew Brown. And Brown, they had, latterly, Brown was about to blame too, because he went to these bloody meetings. And he never says there's a meeting, the annual meetings, and would you like to go? lockdown, I went to see some of the old pals. But never. I met two of them. They were driving lorries for an Aberdeen bacon firm. I sold bacon, you see. And they used to deliver bacon to my name. And they disappeared. But never a word. It wasn't until, I think it was last year, a couple of years ago, that somebody wrote to me from south. I think it was Fit.
Is that the south of the border group?
South of the border group, yeah.
And you're a member of that?
I'm a member of South of the Border group, yeah. I joined them, yeah. What's your father? Weird. And I always wanted to go around and meet them. They have every year they have it, but it's very difficult. Because I'm not a pensioner, and I didn't have my savings. I lost all my savings in the big Black Friday crash way back in. So any pension I had was used up, but then I lost it all. So I'm on a very pension. But I've still